KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's partly cloudy here in Atlantic. And we have 33 degrees. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer, located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. In the news, police in Red Oak report one person was arrested this morning on a drug charge. 31-year-old Terrence Chevy McGill of Red Oak was arrested following a traffic stop at 130th Street and Highway 48. McGill was taken into custody at around 6:10 a.m. on a possession of drug paraphernalia charge. He was being held at the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center on $300 bond. News time is 8:01.
This is Alan Josephson from the TV Star Atlantic, your local Dish authorized retailer. You've heard about the Hopper system from Dish, but you don't know what it is. Stop at the TV Store, where we have a Hopper demo system installed for you to see how easy it is for you to experience the best in TV entertainment. We will show you how you can pause live TV, record with Primetime anytime, use AutoHop to automatically skip through commercials, and use the new Dish Explorer app to find your favorite programming. With an internet connection, you can also access your favorite apps, including Facebook. The Hopper even has Bluetooth capability, so you can listen to your programming on wireless headphones while everyone else is sleeping. How cool is that? The Hopper is more than just watching TV. Stop at the TV Store at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic to see and hear the amazing Hopper system from Dish. Record ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC plus two additional channels. Feature must be enabled by customer. AutoHop only available for playback the next day of select primetime shows on ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, and must be enabled by customer.
Well, about a dozen members of the Atlantic Fire Department took the plunge for Landon Sunday evening. Led by their chief, Mark McNeese, the crew jumped into a large icy water-filled container at around 5 p.m., but not before the chief challenged others to do the same.
The Atlantic Fire Department, we were challenged by the Atlantic Police Department. I'll be doggone if we're going to get beat by them. We're lunging and plunging for Landon, and we challenge the Harlan Fire Department and the Ottoman Fire Department to do the same. Ready?
Now, the water was cold, they said, and the wind didn't help matters any. Harlan Fire Chief Roger Beeson later posted a video on Harlan's Fire and Rescue Facebook page of 30 members of his department accepting the challenge, and they issued a challenge in turn to Avoca, Denison, and the Grinnell Fire Departments to take the plunge. The challenge has to be met within 24 hours. Now, organizers of the Facebook page Plunge for Landon fundraiser say they've lost count of how many people have posted videos of themselves taking a dive for Landon Shaw, a Tarkio, Missouri infant who was diagnosed in late February with a rare form of cancer. People are jumping in from chilly farm ponds north of Kansas City to the Gulf of Mexico and the Potomac River in Washington, D.C. Before they jump in the water, participants record themselves challenging three other people to do the same, with monetary pledges for each person who completes the challenge. The effort had raised more than $30,000 by this past Friday evening, only 5 days after notice of the fundraiser was first posted on the popular social networking site. Entire schools, police departments, and businesses around the region have posted videos of the participants taking the plunge. Landon was 4 months old on February 23rd. And his parents took him to Children's Mercy Hospital in Kansas City to find out why he was vomiting and losing weight. The doctors found a tumor on his left kidney, which they removed, and later discovered a large mass on his brain. Landon did make it through, and his condition improved enough that on April the 1st, Alyssa Shaw and her husband Brandon were able to bring their baby home. But the child still has a long road ahead with chemotherapy sessions, MRIs, and CT scans. And the family is on Medicaid, Shaw said, which isn't nearly enough to cover the medical bills that are just starting to arrive. The Plunge Group's Facebook page had over 20,000 members by Sunday evening, more than seven times the number of people who live in the small farming community of Tarkio, which is located about 2 miles north of Kansas City. Well, two Red Oak residents were arrested early Sunday morning as authorities were executing a search warrant at the location on Highway 48 and East Ratliff Road. Red Oak police say 52-year-old Jack Ray Steinspring was taken into custody at around 3:50 a.m. on a warrant for failure to comply with the Sex Offender Registry fifth offense. During the incident, 34-year-old Becky Jo Hegarty was arrested for interference with official acts. Both Red Oak residents were brought to the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center, where Steinspring was being held Sunday on $5,000 cash bond, and Hegarty's bond was set at $300. The Iowa State Patrol this weekend identified the victims of a snowstorm-related crash that happened Thursday afternoon in Woodbury County. As we reported on Friday, the fatal crash happened around 4:30 p.m. Thursday on Interstate 29 near Salix, when a northbound vehicle towing a flatbed trailer crossed the median and hit a southbound vehicle. The crash killed a passenger in the northbound vehicle and then sent the driver to a Sioux City hospital. Officials say 71-year-old Alan J. Luke of Rosendale, Wisconsin, a passenger in a 2004 Ford driven by 69-year-old Gary Schwantes of New Holstein, Wisconsin, died at St. Luke's Hospital in Sioux City from injuries he suffered in the crash. Schwantes, along with the driver of a 2004 Pontiac, 25-year-old Desiree Lotka of Ottawa, and the other driver, 38-year-old Kevin Johnson of Sioux City, as well as 70-year-old Michael Fuller of East St. Paul, Manitoba, Canada, were injured in the crash. Each of the injured were transported to Mercy Medical Center in Sioux City. Woodbury County Sheriff Dave Drew said the biggest contributing factors in Thursday's crashes were the accumulated slush on the roads and vehicles going too fast for road conditions. The owners of a historic Sioux City building that dates to the 1930s are trying to determine how much can be salvaged after a weekend fire. The Sioux City Journal reports the distinctive Normandy building sustained significant damage Saturday. Fire officials weren't able to determine immediately what caused the fire, partly because it hasn't been safe for inspectors to enter the building. Sioux City Fire Marshal Mark Asoff says the roof will have to be removed before investigators can enter. The white building with a cone-shaped turrets was the longtime home of the Normandy restaurant. It has also housed other businesses in recent years, as well as several art studios. Well, federal experts have wrapped up their investigation of a downtown Des Moines fire without determining a cause. Investigators of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives said Sunday there was no sign the March 29th fire in the former Yonkers building was set intentionally, but it's not yet clear what caused the fire. The building built in 1899 that was being renovated into apartments at the time. Control of the devastated building will now be turned over to the developer. City officials will work to determine what development might be done on the block after the fire. Authorities say a 30-year-old Cedar Falls man has died after crashing during a pursuit by an Iowa State trooper. The Iowa State Patrol says John Winburn tried to get away from the trooper after running a stop sign late Sunday morning. Patrol says the brief chase ended when Winburn lost control of his cycle and it crashed into a concrete wall of the Mutual Wheel Building in LaPorte Road in Waterloo. Patrol says Winburn was pronounced dead at the Covenant Medical Center. It appears that lawmakers will adjourn the 2014 session of the Iowa legislature without taking action on proposals that would have raised additional money to maintain and expand the state's transportation system. House Speaker Craig Paulson, a Republican from Hiawatha, says those who've been lobbying for an increase in the state gas tax have gained no traction.
I don't think anything's changed in that dialogue this session.
Efforts over the past few years to raise the state gas tax have fallen short, and last fall, the Iowa DOT's director developed a list of other alternatives like getting rid of the tax exemption for fuel used in farm machinery to raise funds for roads. None of those alternatives have been endorsed by a legislative committee, and Governor Branstad did not include the proposals in his own budget plan. Representative Josh Burns, a Republican from Osage who supports increasing the gas tax, suggests now would be a good time for Branstad to change his tune.
What the governor's office should do, if they want to divert attention away from this other conversation, they should come out in support of the fuel tax.
Branstad's administration is under scrutiny for alleged hush money payments to laid off state workers. Senate Republican leader Bill Dix of Shell Rock does not sense a groundswell for a gas tax increase.
I believe that what you're seeing happen in the Iowa Senate is that people are listening. And while attitudes may be changing about that, at the moment, they're not hearing a strong message from the vast majority of their constituents to make those changes.
Senate Democratic Leader Mike Gronstall from Council Bluffs has said if a gas tax hike is to pass, it must get bipartisan support in both the House and the Senate.
I personally believe we need additional resources in the road use tax fund, and that if that's going to happen, it requires a meeting of the minds.
But Representative Burns says he's frustrated by those comments from Gronstall.
Okay, if you know that we need to do this and you know that it needs to be done, then quit putting up this stupid requirement that says that you need to have 12 Republicans in favor of it out of the Senate. So you get 10. Take it. I mean, it's still a bipartisan vote.
In November, Governor Branstad said raising the gas tax is not popular with Iowans. State transportation officials estimate there are $215 million short of what's needed to maintain and build new roads and bridges. Iowa's gas tax hasn't been raised since 1989. And taking a look at world headlines at this hour, an Australian official is calling it the most promising lead since Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 disappeared on March the 8th. The joint agency coordinating the search for the plane says U.S. Navy equipment on an Australian Navy ship has twice detected sounds from the southern Indian Ocean that are consistent with the pings from an aircraft's data recorders. Officials say it could take days to make a confirmation. Pro-Russian separatists who seized a provincial administration building in the eastern Ukraine city of Donetsk are claiming the region an independent republic. The Interfax news agency says the activists are demanding the referendum be held no later than May 11th on the breaking away of the Donetsk region, which borders Russia. In March, Crimea held a referendum that resulted in that region being annexed by Russia, and there have been calls for similar votes in Ukraine's east. The United Nations mission in Somalia says gunmen inside of an airport have shot and killed two consultants working for the nation's United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime. UN official says the slain workers were working on a counter-piracy program and were looking at the financial flow of money related to Somalia's pirate attacks. Their nationalities have not been released. Finally, in the news, police in New York City say they have one person in custody following a fire at a residential building on Coney Island that's left two police officers in critical condition. Police say the officer suffered carbon monoxide poisoning and smoke inhalation after taking an elevator to the burning building's 13th floor. Firefighters found the two unconscious. Police are calling the blaze suspicious. News time is 8:11.
This is Alan Josephson from the TV Starlet Line, your local Dish authorized retailer. You've heard about the Hopper system from Dish, but you don't know what it is. Stop at the TV store where we have a Hopper demo system installed for you to see how easy it is for you to experience the best in TV entertainment. We will show you how you can pause live TV, record with Primetime anytime, use AutoHop to automatically skip through commercials, and use the new Dish Explorer app to find your favorite programming. With an internet connection, you can also access your favorite apps, including Facebook. The Hopper even has Bluetooth capability, so you can listen to your programming on wireless headphones while everyone else is sleeping. How cool is that? The Hopper is more than just watching TV. Stop at the TV store at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic to see and hear the amazing Hopper system from Dish. Record ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC plus two additional channels. Feature must be enabled by customer. AutoHop only available for playback the next day of select primetime shows on ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, and must be enabled by customer.
In the funeral announcements, Joyce Hansen, age 87, of Elkhorn, died Friday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Joyce Hansen will be today at 11 o'clock at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton has arrangements. George Weiss, age 92, of Harlan, died Saturday at the Elmcrest Assisted Living Facility. A massive Christian burial service for Lewis George Weiss will be held on Tuesday at 11 a.m. at the St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Gifford Ariel Cavalt, age 94, of Guthrie Center, died Friday at the new homestead in Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Gifford Cavalt will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Dora Anderson, age 73, a longtime Atlantic resident, died Thursday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Services for Dora Anderson will be Wednesday at 10 a.m. at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Barbara Carfrey, age 43, of Audubon, died February 13th. A celebration of life memorial service for Barbara Carfrey will be Wednesday at 10:30 at the Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon. And George Keith Campbell, age 89, of Harlan, died Sunday. Funeral services for George Campbell will be Thursday at 11 a.m. at the Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Jacksonville. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. The news brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. A reminder, too, that the pool at the Nishna Valley Family YMCA here in Atlantic is closed due to mechanical issues. And again, there is no pool today at the Nishna Valley Y. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.